down with the team.
Yo, yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I'm mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a Royal Rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sportscast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. We back. You know, we told you we were going to come back, and you know, much like Frosty the Snowman or much like... Maybe one of the listeners, maybe when your pop said he was going to the store for a pack of Newports. You know, sometimes people don't come back. But Marcus and I, we coming back. I don't know why I got so dark at the top of the show, Marcus.
Very dark.
Very dark. But let me introduce a father who won't leave his child, the newly christened Papa Vandenberg. Brother Marcus, how you doing this week, my friend?
I am doing well from a top secret location.
I'm gonna say you got an interesting background going on.
I got the 5-0 watching me. Hands
Marcus,
up.
Marcus Vandenberg is the feds.
Yes, he's calling from the feds headquarters here. So, quite the background behind me here at the top secret location.
I don't know what we got going on here, but yeah, Marcus, it's good to be back on the airways, brother. I think we got some stuff to talk about this week. Of course, we're going to preview the World Series between the Astros and the Nationals. I've got an interesting little segment four story, even though this isn't a full show. This is more of a rant, if you will. I've got a segment four story for you. And I've got an interesting story to tell the people from my... I think what the people want to know, Marcus... How is young Simba doing? Is everything good at the Vandenberg household?
Young Simba is, by the time this comes out, he'll be 7 weeks old.
Mm.
And he is still not really sleeping well, which is not great for mom and dad. Still growing.
Do you and your wife have a rhythm now where you know who's the tag team partner to go check on the baby?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, in the middle of the night, the hot tad, you know, my wife goes to the hot tad, and I'm off the wing, off the apron.
You jump off the apron.
I jump off. There's a lot of that going on. But for the most part, we have a system in terms of who does which feeding overnight. But, he's up at 6 a.m. And when he's up at 6, he's up for the day. So that means I'm up for the day at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Okay. So is he? I don't know how, like, how, because it's been a while since my nieces were newborns.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like,
we are back.
There you
go.
The
top secret location has some questionable internet for some reason.
I mean, you out there working for the government, Marcus.
I mean, jeez, you would think, you know, they would be good at this thing, this top secret location.
Are we still rolling?
We're rolling. We are still rolling. So we had a dead gap there. But yes, you're talking about your niece?
Yeah, I was saying it's been a while since my nieces were babies. So, you know, I'm not around newborns a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, in terms of young Simba, is he starting to kind of acclimate to his environment?
Oh, I mean, since day one, he was sort of, if he heard our voices, he would sort of turn his head and sort of try to pick up on things. He's a very nosy kid.
he's a born journalist. He's an investigator.
He is. Who is the neighbor on 227?
Oh, the old lady? Was it?
Yes. Who on the stoop?
Was that Rose?
It was Rose. Yeah, my son is Rose. He's very nosy.
What's going on? And then Jack A just shows up. Hey, mm-hmm. Mary.
Mary. Yeah. So
that's good. That's good, man. Good to hear everything is going well with the child. Have you been able to keep up with sports though? Because that is your job, not only at Yahoo but also as one of the titular kings of sport. Have you been able to keep up with what's going on in the world of sports?
I have. When we were in the hospital, not so much. But since we've been home, it's been a little easier to keep track of things. And now that I'm back at work, too, it's a lot easier to follow.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I mean, especially if he's up late, you can just turn on SportsCenter or Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Catch up on everything.
With basketball starting this week, I'm sure there'll be a lot of time to watch some NBA action overnight. So
yeah.
that'll be good.
So real quick, before we get into the baseball, which will be the bulk of the show this week, any quick basketball thoughts? Obviously, Zion's going to be out for a little bit for the Pelicans. Obviously, it's a big opening week for your Los Angeles Lakers, Marcus Vandenberg. Any thoughts on the association? Or even if you want to talk about the deal with LeBron and China and Daryl Morey and all that stuff.
Nah, I'm not touching that LeBron stuff. Come on. Come on.
Marcus said, I ain't messing with China.
My name is Bennett. I am not in it. That was my takeaway from LeBron and China. Don't talk about it. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk about it. The Lakers, I don't know if the Lakers are going to be good still. I still have questions. Maybe I was damaged by last season of having these expectations and then for them to not.
But you're a better
great.
Team this year.
Better team this year, but I need to see him in action to see how good is AD, how good is LeBron healthy again. And then I do think the pieces they have around those two are a lot better than last year. They're just better fits in terms of what they want to do. I forgot some of these guys are even on the team looking at the preseason game. I was like, oh, Quinn Cook. Oh, Avery Bradley. Like, oh yeah, Danny Green. Like they have some serious, and Dwight actually looked pretty good for Dwight Howard. I think he's going to be the X factor. If he can be 80% of what he was the first time in LA, which I know he gets a bad rap, but his time in LA, they didn't win, but he was not necessarily a bad player. I just think him and Kobe were never on the same page.
It's also a different circumstance because at that time he was kind of brought in to be the new Shaq. Whereas now, at best, he's your third option.
Not even that. It's probably going to be JaVale starting. So he's option.
Yeah, and then Kuzma, better option. Yeah, so. As long as he can just come in and do his job, he's not going to be the focus. And I think that's a good situation for Dwight where he doesn't have to carry the burden because he's not that guy.
No, he's not anymore. Not at 33. So, Clippers, I think they're going to be a TBD until Paul George is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Our Atlanta Hawks, I am curious to see at the progression of Trae Young to see if he can take this game up to another level.
I'm actually expecting a good season from the Hawks. I mean, I'm not going crazy to say they'll win the East or anything like that, but I think we can make the playoffs.
They won, I want to say, 30 games last year. Let me see real quick. The Hawks were 29-53. I could see the Hawks going 38-42. Does that add up? No, it does not add up. 38-44.
Yeah.
I could see them getting 38-39 wins, which in the East might be a playoff berth.
Yeah, I could see them sneaking in. I like what the Sixers have done. I think Al Horford's an underrated piece on that squad. Something that puzzles me, Marcus, and I talked about it when I was on the radio this past week, was Bradley Beal re-signing with the Wizards. What'd you make of that move?
I was listening to your discussion about that, and I think the one thing you didn't mention was with Beal signing that, he has the ability to become the highest paid player in NBA history if he signs the Supermax.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I think that was probably some of the inspiration, was just the way the rules now work with contracts and whatnot, that he could be set up to be paid, you know, like no other player has been paid before. So I think that's
basically the Bryce Harper situation.
Pretty much. And I think, you know, Bradley Beal probably feels like, hey, John Wall out of the picture. This is for now. This is my team.
My time to shine.
Yeah. The problem is the rest of his team is garbage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think Bradley Beal or pretty much anyone could save the Wizards this year. But I think he's going to have a great year just because there's no other option in Washington.
Yeah, I think so. It just – and now that you bring up the Supermax, I think it makes a lot more sense. But I was looking from it from the standpoint of he locked himself in to D.C., mm-hmm. whereas he could have gone on to a contender somewhere possibly.
I mean, there's always the option of the trade, you know. The way we've seen NBA players force themselves out of worse situations, so there's always that in the back pocket.
Very true, very true. Real quick, because I was going to save my radio story for later, but since you brought it up, Marcus, I was, again, on the radio last Thursday, WTAR down here in Virginia. I went across the water to Norfolk, hopped on the Bob. Once again, was listening to the show, and what the listeners don't know is we had a hockey guest. It was a change of plans because, Marcus, this is a day after or a day or two after the Nationals clinched. Mm-hmm. So I've got like 10 pages worth of Washington Nationals figures and stats and anecdotes, and I'm ready. Like, I'm prepared, Marcus Vandenberg. And as soon as I get there, Bob's like, oh, by the way, Nate, we're having a Sam Pella on to talk hockey. You a big hockey fan? I'm like, okay. It's a plot twist. We were talking to Sam, and I gave, like, you know, I'm good at generic questions. So I was just like, mm-hmm. you know, with the success of the Nationals, has any of that transferred to the Capitals? And while she's answering that, I see Marcus hit me up on Facebook, and he's like, yeah, I'm listening. And so I'm like, Marcus, send me a hockey question, stat.
And at that point, I wasn't listening to the show, so I thought you were joking at first. So then I turned on the show, and I was like, oh, no, they're actually talking hockey. So I gave you a general topic to discuss.
Yes, the Ovechkin question.
And then as I'm listening to the interview, I hear Bob keep mentioning Sam, and I'm like, oh, is that Sam Pell? Because I know her from the industry. So then I messaged her on the side, and I was like, hey, I happen to be listening to Bob Matthews, don't ask why. And heard you on the radio, so that was pretty funny.
But yes, Marcus came up in the clutch. Because I was, again, I could do anything, Marcus. You know, that's, as I told Bob, that's part of the job when you're on the radio. Even if you don't know anything, you got to go to the Stu Gotts playbook and act like you know something. But I was like, because again, we didn't, and that's the crazy thing, we didn't talk about the Nationals the whole show. And I had this stack of papers ready for the Nationals.
That's a good transition into baseball as a sport. But, yeah, your Ovechkin question. So there's been a lot of Ovechkin chatter about him breaking Gretzky's goal record.
Yeah.
And essentially, I think he needs to average, I think, 40 goals over the next 6 seasons to have a shot, which is doable for him.
Yeah. Because what, he's in his early 30s, mid-30s now?
Yeah, and he's already at 600-something goals, and I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to play long enough to do it.
Yeah, I could see it happening, and he's certainly, and it's, again, that was a good question to send me, Marcus, because I was able to, you know, flip it and word it in my own words and make it sound natural, because if there's anybody that a non-hockey fan in this area would know, it's Ovi.
Yeah, because Bob was going deep. Bob was, like, naming, like, guys on the third and fourth line.
Yeah, Bob's like, a hockey guy. He's like,
I could tell. I was like, oh, okay, I can't keep up with this.
He's bringing up the goalie controversy in game 4. I'm like, I don't even know who the hell the goalie is. So, but I know Ovechkin because, you know, Ovechkin is a a he's public figure.
He's one of the few hockey stars,
yes. Yeah, a hockey star. Like, he did the Eastern Motors commercials when he was first getting in the league that endeared him to the area. So I know Ovi, and I could work in that wavelength. But, yeah, Bob was going super deep, and Sam was coming back super deep on hockey stuff. And I'm sitting here like, time to ask a hockey Negro.
Send out the bat signal.
For the assist. But, yeah, let's talk baseball, Marcus, because we have our World Series set. It will be the Washington Nationals taking on the Houston Astros, who eliminated the Yankees in exciting fashion over the weekend. Marcus Vandenberg, did you get a chance to check out the deciding game?
I did. I've been back to work, so I've been watching baseball. And I think the Astros are definitely deserve to be there and the best team probably in baseball. The Nationals, and I'm not saying this as a bitter Dodger fan, but I do think the Nationals have sort of, I don't say that lucky, but I think they've had some breaks in, going back to the wild card game of, you know, the Trent Grisham era that led to their win. I think the Dodger series, there was no sort of flukiness, but to get a Cardinals team that, to be honest, wasn't very good to begin with.
I don't know what happened because they put a 10 spot up on my Braves. And I'm like, oh, damn, the Cardinals are going back to the World Series. And then the Nationals crushed them.
So my fear about the Nats is, A, they do have some bullpen issues that they have managed to sort of hide. But I do think the week off is going to really hurt them. And it reminds me of the Rockies team of 2008 or 7 that sort of steamrolled through series and then got to the World Series and lost to the Red Sox and got swept. But they had all this time off waiting for the ALCS to wrap up and couldn't compete with the time off. So I think the Astros will win this series. I think the Astros is a better team. I don't know how many games this will go, but I do think at least we will get some pretty good pitching matchups between the two teams, which if you watch game 6 of the Yankees-Astros series, which was the bullpen game, I think that that's the kind of baseball that you would not expect in the playoffs in terms of here are two relievers that are starting a important playoff game, and for the average baseball fan, that's not going to entice them. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun series. I think the Astros will win because they are the better team. Mm-hmm. And as good as the Nats starters are, the Astros to me are that much better. And I think I'm going to predict Astros in 6 because I do think the Nats have been a tough out. And there is something, Marcus, to a team feeling itself and a team that has momentum. The question is, and the question I was going to ask Bob if we ever talked about the Nationals on Thursday, was if they had their choice, would they rather play over the weekend or would they rather have the time off? And I agree with you. I think, yeah, you want a little bit of time off so guys can get rested and you can set your rotation up right, but too much time off can be a detriment. And the way the Astros came off of that Yankee series, I think they're going to be ready to do some damage. So it should be a fun series. I don't know how well viewed it will be, given.
Yeah, that too.
Given the fact that, you know, the Nationals are a big deal in this part of the country, but nationally, I don't know what kind of traction they have.
Well, you mentioned the national ratings. There was a story last week in the Sports Business Journal that sort of looked at the ratings this year in individual markets.
Yeah.
The Orioles outdrew the Nationals on Masson.
That makes sense. That makes sense because the Orioles have, what, a 25-30-year history over the Nats?
Yeah. But did you see this Orioles team this year?
There are people in this area that should know better that love the Orioles and can barely take a leave the Nats.
Yeah, so that was surprising. Yeah.
You know, it's that or that Orioles magic. People love the birds for whatever reason.
But you mentioned World Series ratings last year, which should have been great on paper. I mean, it was a great matchup on paper. Red Sox Dodgers.
Yeah.
It only averaged 14.1 million, which was the lowest since Giants Royals in 2014.
Oh, wow.
So it did less than Astros Dodgers. It did way less than Cubs Indians. It did less than Royals Mets. So I do think this series, it could be really bad, especially some of those. That Friday night game, I don't know how many people are watching this series on a Friday night.
I mean,
you're not watching SmackDown either.
Watching the game. Yeah, I was going to say, give me the option of watching the game or watching SmackDown. I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
I'm not watching SmackDown on FS1. No. For what? For who?
For Vince.
But yeah, I think this will be a fun series. It feels like a series, though, Marcus, and you alluded to it with the numbers, that is going to be for baseball hardcores. It's not going to be a series that draws in the general public. As good as the Astros have been over the last few seasons, they're not the Yankees. They're not the Dodgers. They're not the Red Sox. And so, yeah, I think the numbers could be a little bit down, but I'm going to enjoy the series.
Yeah, it should be if you like, you know, old school baseball in terms of pitching, it should be a good series.
I mean, the Astros, even though they're in the American League, they kind of have National League tendencies. So I kind of dig them. They're not all about. You know, they got guys that got pitching, they got a book. So, yeah, I dig the Astros.
The undisclosed Wi-Fi is acting up again, so.
Man. So, well, in that case, Marcus, let me get to the story I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is not a segment four, but it's a funny story nonetheless, Marcus. And since you are at an undisclosed location, perhaps a military site, perhaps a black ops site, have you heard about the technological upgrade that our military has recently gone through?
I have not.
Okay. Nuclear weapons, our Air Force at Nuclear Command for the Air Force, Marcus, they recently had an upgrade for their missile targeting systems. Mm-hmm. And they replaced the current system with an upgraded system. But the system they replaced, Marcus, was running on 8-inch floppy disk. All of the nuclear codes, all of these.
Wait, missiles, floppy disk?
Yes, 8-inch floppy disk. Like you don't know if you're going to blow up Iran or if you're going to play Oregon Trail on these damn floppy disks.
8-inch, so that's a pretty bit. That's like, that's a bit floppy.
And I guess here it is. The reason for it, one of the command. And by technology, it was more secure, I guess, than doing something more upgraded. So they've been running these missile systems off of floppy disks and an old 1970s era IBM computer. Like they protecting the free world with an Apple IIe, Marcus.
Wow. Well, you can play Oregon Trail and it can save the country. So
yes.
What more do you need?
Yeah. Well, what? Real quick, because I know we grew up kind of generally in the same era. What was your favorite game at the computer lab when you were coming up in school?
Oh, Oregon Trail by far.
Oregon Trail?
Yeah.
Oregon Trail was hot. I don't know if you remember a game called Microzines.
No, I never heard of that one.
It was like Microsoft would send out a floppy disk every month or every 2 months, and it would have like a bunch of different games on it, like Number Crunchers or Word Circus or something else. But they would always have like a choose your own adventure story.
Oh, no.
Huh. And so, yeah, you could do that. I'm going to say it, though, Marcus. My favorite game on the old computers was Carmen San Diego.
Oh, that was a good one.
Carmen Sandiego was my game, and they knew they got you because they didn't have a save function on Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, I did have that.
So you had to spend your whole lunch break or your whole time at the computer lab playing the game, and you couldn't get up, you couldn't leave, because it wouldn't save your progress.
Man. Did you play King's Quest?
Oh, I remember King's Quest. I'd never played it, but I definitely remember King's Quest.
Yeah, that was a hard one. But Carmen Sandiego, if you're under 30, you probably have no idea what Carmen Sandiego is. At least look up on YouTube the theme song to the PBS show.
Yo, Rockapella?
Just for the Rockapella. The Rockapellas,
yeah. Did you know, here's the thing, Marcus. Because I heard they were going to do a reboot of Carmen Sandiego, obviously without the chief who passed away,
mm-hmm.
who was the she was the black lady from Lean on Me, the angry mother.
Yes.
Like Mr. Clark, you destroying the community. but Lynn Thigpen, that was the name.
That's right.
But they were going to do a reboot of Carmen Sandiego, so I was going through like the YouTube wormhole and looking up the theme song, like you said. And that led me to the Rockapella YouTube website. Marcus Vandenberg, did you know that Rockapella now has a brother? They got a brother in the group now.
Can I book Rockapella for like parties?
I'm pretty sure you could. Like, I'm pretty sure if Yahoo wanted to have a family day at the compound, they could book Rockapella for not much.
Interesting.
But there's now a black man in Rockapella, and yes, if you're wondering, he does provide the beatboxing.
Of course, he's like the Razzell of Rockapella.
Like, dude, hold Rockapella, on. Hold on.
They're on tour. They're like playing high schools, Nate.
Where are they at? Where are they at now?
November 1st, they're at the Summit Theater at Yankton High School.
What's the itinerary for Rockapella?
Yankton, South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Loveland, Colorado. I mean, these are like just... Let's see. California. They're going to New York to play a jazz club in New York in January.
Okay, Rockapella.
no Virginia dates, no California dates, but they are touring.
You know what you should do, Marcus, since they're playing high schools?
Mm-hmm.
What you should do is find a local high school and use your influence in the community to book a double bill. Rockapella and Mark Marrow in Los Angeles. Marcus Vandenberg presents.
would Mark just do his speaking thing, or would he?
Yeah, Mark would do his speaking thing, and then Rockapella would provide the music. It'd be like... Maybe they could work together. Mark would be like, kids, you don't need drugs. Woo-woo-woo-woo-doo. Stay out of these gangs. Woo-woo-woo-doo-woo. Just have Rockapella provide the musical accompaniment for Mark Merrow's message of positivity and hope.
You know what I want? I want Rockapella to do the Johnny B. Bad theme song.
Oh, my goodness. That's it. That's
shut it down,
this week, folks. That's the end of the show this week. Because yes, that is what we need. I don't. It, look, we come up with a lot of ideas on this show, folks. If you've been listening over the years, and maybe 25% of those ideas actually come to fruition. Maybe
that is a generous number. For
generous
sure.
number. But I'm just putting this out there to the universe. The Kings of Sport. We're gonna book Mark Merrow, and we're gonna book Rockapella. And we're going to get Rockapella to sing the Mark Merrow theme song, Johnny B. Bad.
Yes. Man. That theme song was, like most WCW theme songs in the 90s, it was catchy bad. That's our outro, right?
Just he's as pretty as a picture because he looks just like Little Richard. But don't be fooled by his looks. He got a mean left hook.
The song was trying to tell us, don't be fooled by his looks. He's not black.
Stay so there woke. Was a hidden message.
Hidden message right there. Come on.
Yes, yes. So we'll, for those of you at home keeping track, we'll put put Mark Merrow and Rockapella on the list with the guy from Nick Arcade. Put him on the list with Byron Allen and all the other things we talk about that we never do.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to that podcast, by the way, Marcus?
Byron Allen?
Yes.
No.
Because your boy keeps asking me about it. So before the end of the month, I'll listen to the podcast. How about that? And then I'll come back and we'll actually do a show. The next time we do a show, if it's like a week or so from now or 2 weeks from now, I'll have a report on the Byron Allen podcast.
Who's asking, Jermaine?
No, your boy Black Man USA.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't talked to Jermaine in a minute.
Actually, he sent me a DM that I forgot to respond to.
Jermaine?
Yeah.
Was it about
his... He said he was trying to book us a wrestling guest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Probably somebody...
He didn't say who, so it's not Roman Reigns.
Hold on. Jermaine's in Chicago. We know it's not Roman Reigns. Maybe it's CM Punk.
Maybe.
So, yeah, Jermaine, talk to your boy Punk and get him on the show.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's going to do it because we've got a good stretch of Marcus's government Wi-Fi that is running off a floppy disk right now. So we're going to quit while we're ahead and call it a episode. Marcus, before we get out of here, let the people know where they can find you on social media and, you know, so they can send you some love and let you know about where Rockapella is going to appear next.
You can find me at Marco Will. MarcoWill.
And you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, that's where we are. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the show. We'll be back at an undisclosed time, Marcus.
Yes.
Sometime in the future. We don't know when. We don't know where.
After the World Series.
After the World Series. That sounds good. I like that. So, yeah, after the World Series, we'll be back with our thoughts on the series as well as, you know, who knows. I might have that review of the Byron Allen podcast for you, Marcus.
All right.
So, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you guys and girls for checking out the show. We'll be back in about a week or so with an all-new episode of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg in the Witness Protection Program, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Do it, Rockapella. Now I got to play the Carmen Sandiego theme under the outro.
Yes.
'Cause you've been down with the king.
Well, she sneaks around the world, yeah, to Carolina. She's a sticky finger filter from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on the most China. Tell me where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
It's all in South Korea, baby.
Warren. The Warren. The Warren. The Warren. The Warren. The Warren. Ooh, the chain. Ooh, 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 the chain. Oh, and it makes us good, yeah. And it makes us good.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS underscore POD, Cospod on Twitter.
Time is really wasted.
Leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!